Paul, in his epistle to the church in Colossae, Paul, in his epistle to the church in Colossae, expounded Moses' teaching in Genesis 1. Paul, in his epistle to the church in Colossae, expounded Moses' teaching in Genesis. I will take it from there when I come later today. Because the things we want to say from now, I may not be able to drop the thought as my time runs out. So I can give time for question, even if it is for 10 minutes. But you have this to understand. Pay attention. One of the places where the call of God in your life will be proven, will be tested, and will be exercised is in the local church. That's why in our exercise in the Bible school, the reason for the exercise you just had is so that you can understand ecclesiology practically. That when people are saved, they need to come into a relationship with other brethren in a local setting. So when you get them born again, we made you go out to go and persuade them to come. It's apostolic. It's apostolic. It's so that you will understand, not that I know Christology, I know soteriology. Now, wonderful. You need to also understand ecclesiology practically. With ecclesiology comes responsibility. It comes labor. That is where believers who are serious with the plan and the purpose of God stand out. You can't have a campus. You have a fellowship. You have a church. Where all you people celebrate is Christology, revelation of Jesus. Soteriology, God is moving. Pneumaticos, where you minister to yourself the things of the Spirit. Ah, service today was full of the power of God. Come and see prophecy flowing. And you have been in that campus for 6 months. Not one person is your disciple. You've not gotten anybody born again. You've not gotten anybody saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, you are not responsible for anybody. You are a misfit. That means of all the logic, a vital one is missing in your life is ecclesiology. You have not understood or appreciated ecclesiology. The call of God in your life fully finds expression and is tested by your practical application of ecclesiology. They are saved. And they are brought into a local house where they are groomed to grow. So start thinking right now. The campus where you are coming from, and those of you listening to me online, if you don't have any Power City campus, you say, well, I'm not talking to you now, I'm talking to you. If you don't have any Power City online, that you attend and you have been around for 6 months following Baba online, you are already fat and flourishing and obese spiritually. And ecclesiology will make you lose weight and burn the spiritual fat. You are discipling people online, live online and come on site. Labor is involved in ecclesiology. Selflessness is involved in ecclesiology. You will meet with situations that will expose you to spiritual growth, and you will see where you are standing and where work needs to be done in your life. Because now you are dealing with men more directly. So that campus where you are coming from, and those I talked about, those online. connect with Dr. Abel Damina at yahoo.com and tell that you want to be discipled, global discipleship, and that you want to start a campus. You have grown to a level, it is a taboo to still be watching Papa online. The proof of your persuasion is that you live online and come on site. Because you are somebody that nobody can give you instruction and you take it. You are going to meet a campus coordinator that will tell you, join those who clean chairs. It's part of your growth. It's part of ecclesiology. Clean those chairs up, set them up, and make sure the service is ready for beating. And the person talking to you is older than you, but he's got authority over your life in that campus. And for the first time in your life, somebody is giving you orders. He doesn't know where you're coming from. He doesn't know. He's just a leader, and he doesn't care how you feel. Inside your mind, in the history of your life, you have not cleaned chairs before. And now they are telling you to clean chairs. And it is strategically designed by God to turn you to a man who will be a true servant of our Lord Jesus. Because in cleaning chairs, you clean destinies. In cleaning chairs, you clean people's lives. In cleaning chairs, you humble yourself to now go where you don't want to go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, follow me. We're going to the hospital. And you are planned to go on an outing to go and eat one serious food in one restaurant. Scattered. So the moment your leader says, you cancel that for instruction of authority, you are learning how to serve local church. When you do something wrong as you are going on, your father and mother keeps avoiding you. Leave him. If you talk to him now, he'll be angry for the night. You keep malice like mice. Then a leader will tell you that thing you did was wrong. And nobody has spoken to you to your face before. And your heart caught fire like volcanic eruption. Why would you talk to me like that? Why will you talk to me like that? That's not your house. This is the house of God. And this is, so what father and mother cannot do, this coordinator will do it. He tells you, sit down. She says, I'm okay, I can stand. I said, sit down. And you look around you and see others are watching and you sit, sat down. The first time in your life, you finally sat down. Somebody say, sat down. Sit down. You are learning obedience by the things which you are suffering. Ecclesiology. When your idea and your opinion is not accepted, like Ahithophel, you feel like hanging yourself. And they said, and because of that, they have left you to yourself and you have made errors in your life. Now in a local church, the coordinator said, that your idea is for 2 months. It's for 2 months to come, not now. That your idea is in 2 months' time. It's not now. It's not now. We'll do the one that Brother George talked about. I think that fits more better. And see to it. See to it that it comes to pass. In fact, you're going to be the chairman of operations. It's not your idea, but you're going to be the chairman following the vision, the person who brought the idea. God is putting you together to be a servant. You cannot be a good master until you're a good servant. It's shaping you for global impact. But first, you have to learn how to serve. Ecclesiology. We'll talk about it much more. Your campus coordinator is human. He has his frailties. He may be wrong in his approach to things. But in him, being wrong is also a trap if you malfunction. He is wrong, obvious. But two wrongs cannot make a right. You are expected to function in obedience. He will eventually find out that you are a specimen that is growing. And he will own up to it and apologize. And not get spoiled. I told you before, I said, this right you like claiming, human right. Dog right. animal right. Everything now has rights. You can allow your right to go. Ecclesiology. It's in ecclesiology that you are groomed. When people meet you, they come from another campus. They'll say, we don't want to know where you come from. You better know. Know where they come from. Know where they come from. You say you are in Power City. You come to, yes, yes. Where did you come from to come to Power City? So that we will know what mess to clean out. I came from Jehovah's Witnesses, so I came with a lot of wickedness. So we know we're dealing with wickedness. We need to know how to position ourselves to help the weak clear the wickedness. That's where I came from. And from there, I went to White Garment Church, where we used to break coconut in people's head. So far, we have made a lot of people insane. Because when we crack the coconut, their skull cracks and they end up in mental institution. You know the kind of person you are dealing with. Okay, Jehovah wickedness, again, wickedness, then it cracks skull, insanity. So wickedness and insanity goes together. Then you're not asking this as well. The last one I went, I drank an onion oil until a factory of oil you can find on my inside. You know, somebody given to ritual practice. You see, that history helps you know how to raise him. Because you don't raise all your disciples the same way. There is how you want to start behaving. No, you have a history. You know he's playing for that gallery. He's playing to the gallery. You will call him back. Don't. You won't know why you are saying don't. You can disciple him well. You preserve his position. You preserve his position. Somebody say he has problem with he gambles a lot or he does this a lot. Then all of a sudden he's about to walk a line that will entrap him. You know, but he has not seen it. You stop him. No, you can't do this now. You do this first before that. This one waits for later. Because you know the issues that he came with, you can help him. Are you listening to me at all? Don't say I don't care, Jesus. Mm-mm. Jesus, what are you talking about? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know why Jesus never sent Matthew to go and catch fish to remove money from the mouth of the coin? Because Matthew never has the expertise. He's Peter. So who did he send? He sent Peter. He sent those who are fishermen to go and fish. They went, they know how to cast the hook. He knows the antecedents, so he knows who to send. If you send Matthew, that's the end of the matter. Matthew will go and buy all the boat on the sea. You give money to them, but after they catch the fish, he will ask all of them to pay tax and bring the tax proceed to Jesus, plus the fish they caught. That's Matthew's method. But Peter, get the hook, get there, catch the fish, because he has the antecedent. So it's good you know. It's part of ecclesiology. It's part of ecclesiology. Or somebody has a very bad relationship, came out of a mesmerized bad relationship, and then the person has not healed or recovered as a disciple. Then one other person come and say, I want to marry you. We want to marry who? Which mouth are you saying it? And she goes, hey, Pastor, I want to marry because, you know, the Lord has, which Lord? This is the Lord. Which Lord? You are not ready. What we're having right now is you are a work in progress. Any interruption will spoil the process and it will reflect in the next relationship. Stop that. You can't marry now. Not now. A young man, God should lead you somewhere here, not here. Not here at all. Not here. It's part of discipleship. Ecclesiology solves that. And I've told you before, be involved in your disciples' life. Coordinator, be involved. Call people. Hey, how are you doing? What's happening? Come to relationship, come to love life, come to marriage. What's happening? Hey, you know, Pastor, sit down. Let us talk. Today, I have your time. Talk with them. Find out from them. Discuss with them. Be involved in their life. That is pastoring. That is ecclesiology. It's ecclesiology, no. So that when they're about to make a choice, they will come up. They are your crown. That will tamper with them, you will intercept. That's how you protect the flock. Glory. I said, glory. Bless. Amen. Let me stop there because of time. Yes, I need just two questions. After which I come back later in the day again, we have a meeting. We have one hand there, another one there, just two. You can come out and ask your question. Yes, I can give you my microphone. You can have
it. Pastor, good morning. Thank you so much for once again, you know, impacting us positively. I really appreciate, you know.
Okay, I give you my
okay. Pastor, my question is from yesterday's class. You talked about the message and the messenger.
Yes, sir.
Two very important components in ministry. You know, a lot of times the messenger is not well schooled, you know, in passing the message. Christianity these days or ministry these days, you see maybe some brothers who are not very schooled, you know, they didn't go to formal education and all that. So in that way, it's difficult for them to communicate the message as it were. So just try to break it down for us. You are a medical doctor by profession. Papa has two doctorate degrees and all that. You know, how important is formal education in ministry? And how will it help us, you know, so we can also leverage on formal education as we go into ministry as well?
Okay. Formal education helps. It's important. It helps your delivery. It helps your ease of bringing understanding and simplifying the message. All right. Not having formal education could place a limit because it will affect the audience and the range of how much impact you can make. Just like Papa, it has helped him to be able to know how to do all that. Part of his education, basically, is that even with Papa's formal education, there are those by formal education who are more educated than Papa. A professor of mathematics is the one that brought comb, that they should comb back and comb forward. He has formal education, all right? You can have formal education and you are stupid. It happens. So, but the education I was talking about is an education of, he has read to empower, galvanize himself with Christology. Then he read psychology as a course in the Bible school, which then, even the Christology he read with his formal education, you can see he was a blunder even to the message because he was copying what others are copying. Then when Jesus accosted him, he got back to that and refreshed again and read. Now he has put himself together. So it helps in a way, but that is not the emphasis. Let's go apostolic. All the disciples of Jesus who were teenagers, we don't know their educational standards, but they could communicate the normal Aramaic, Koine Greek. They could communicate that. So communication is just a function of understanding. If I can communicate well, but I can talk to the person that I am talking to in a language he understands, that's communication. That's a level of education. And because the gospel is faith, express faith. Once I bring the message of his death, burial, and resurrection, and I simplify it in a language my audience will understand, I've communicated the message, he will be saved. So that we don't overblow this formal education thing. What of those who never had formal education? The men who shook the world, they were not professors. They were not doctors. They were men that were mere men. Yet they shook the world. So it plays a role. It's good you do much about that because we're reaching a global audience. But they too reach the global audience because we talk about them all the time. So it plays a role, but the gospel is not centered on that. So when you see people around you, your campus, in your ministry, break down the gospel to the level that they themselves can communicate in the language of that community. If people speak broken English there, let them use broken to preach the gospel. But it's just that communicate in such a way that they understand the fact of the gospel through your communication. They can take it in their own language and express it, and it will flow. And there'll be impact. The message is faith in Christ. It's not sense in Christ. It's faith in Christ. So that will help. Praise God. Okay, the second person. No question because of time. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet, pray, amen. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Lift up your hands, let's pray the Holy Ghost. Shande gebro kusta brahada dishtahaya. Zimande kobrata subratia. Zuka pate krekosko bradia. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Pray, 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 pray. Let's receive our pastor, praise.